So let's just, again, make sure we have some principles down. So let's try just to bring some of our points together. We've talked a little bit about Lavud, a little bit about Dofen Akuma. We'll talk a little bit more about Dofen Akuma and about Gur Achis. One thing I should clarify, I'm not sure if it was always so clear, is that when we talked about the question of what's going to work as far as Schach that doesn't necessarily reach the end, so there's two different types. There is Schach that doesn't reach the end because some of the Schach towards the end is Schach Puzzle, as we've been looking at a little bit, and maybe it doesn't reach the end because there is empty space. So those are two different dinim, I should clarify, and they have very different applications, very different parameters. That when you have empty space, so that's when we utilize the principle of labud. So labud needs to be less than three tvachim. But to use empty space for a dofen akuma is a problem because, as we were discussing yesterday, a dofen akuma seems like it means a curved wall, and if you have empty space, it's hard to call that a wall. So whether it's on top or whether it's on the side, it's hard to call that a wall. So when we talk about using ungood schach at the top, we really mean actual material that is not qualified to be schach. That gives us different measurements, because schach puzzle, in the middle of a schach, is how much is for tvachim, right? And at the corner, at the side, it's much more. It's four amos, because we can use dofen akuma on the sides. Yes, sir?
When we did that knock-up in the other case, so we have kind of a half wall, mm-hmm. The sock doesn't totally reach.
Right.
So we couldn't even begin to say that it was good asik plus dofen akuma. It would only be good asik plus lovin.
Well, it depends why it doesn't reach to the top.
But meaning if...
So it depends what's the problem at the top. It doesn't reach one. There's two different ways it can be also. I just want to clarify.
It's not possible that.
Right.
So if it's an empty space, then there's no question that Nakoma could not ever happen.
It'll be a different issue. It'll be Labud. Right. And Labud, also, we could talk about whether Labud works to join together with Gur Achis.
Okay.
Right. So just to focus on your question specifically, so let's say we're using Gur Achis to make the wall go to the top. Right now, we're not clear that we need good achis, because maybe the walls just don't have to go to the top. But let's say we're using good achis to make the wall go to the top. And across, there's an issue also. So what's the issue? So either the issue is empty space, then we could talk about labud. Or the issue is bad schach. It could be a tree, it could be an awning, it could be anything like that. So then the question is dofen akuma, and you have much more territory for that. You have four amos. So in both cases, you could ask, can we combine the two? As we've been talking about the past few days, can you combine Gur Achis and Dofen Akuma or Labud? And either you might say, well, we have an issue in general with two Hilchoses, we can't combine two Halacha Moshe Nisinais. Or maybe we'll say, it depends, we might have a split decision. So for example, you might say that Labud you could do together with Gur Achis, but not Dofen Akuma. So why not? So one explanation might be that Dofen Akuma and Achis, that's going to require you to do two halachal moshinai in one area, in the wall. The wall is going to need two different crutches, so to speak, to make it into a wall. While Labud is about the schach. You want the schach to extend. So maybe you can have one for the schach and one for the walls, and maybe that's more acceptable. Hi.
If we have a full wall and there's kind of four amos of puzzle schach and then open area,
mm-hmm.
Would you say
so? You have a full wall, and then what happens?
There's puzzle schach,
right?
And an empty space,
uh-huh.
And then tusher schach.
Oh.
You say you can now use dofen akuma plus lovud.
Oh, so that's an interesting question also. That happens to be a machlokas achronim. Actually, the question is, why should we say that you can have only, let's say, four amos? Well, why don't we say you can have four amos and four tvachim? Right? Because you have two different tools, theoretically. You have dofen akuma, and you have up to four tefachim of bad tzchach anywhere in the sukkah, anywhere in the tzchach, right? So let's put the two together. So let's say it's not four amos that you have four amos plus four tefachim. Right? You follow the question? Right? So why do we say that there is, I know this is hyper complicated stuff, but why should we say that you only get four amos away from the side, you get four amos plus four tefachim?
That's only
if
specifically it's puzzle schach and then open space, right?
Not open space. Puzzle schach, two types, you can have puzzle schach twice. Because any point in the sukkah, right, you could have up to four tefachim of puzzle schach. Now, why four tefachim, by the way? Right, just to get a little bit of a sense, why do we have these measurements, four tefachim, three tefachim, et cetera, et cetera? So, three tefachim is the requirement for, is the measurement for lobot. Right, within three tefachim, we consider that area to be connected. Four tefachim is a different story. Now, four tefachim is the measurement that's necessary to create an independent space. So when you have four tefachim of bad tzchach, then that's already its own space, and right there in the middle of your sukkah, that messes up your sukkah. Hi.
Four
tefachim is a different thing than Dofen Akuma. Four amos is for Dofen Akuma.
Oh, okay.
Right, so yeah, it's very hard to keep track of all these things. Okay, this is hyper complicated stuff. Again, some of you may feel a very great inclination towards these kind of things. Some of you may find it very challenging. Some of you may find it in the middle. That's again the beauty of Shas, that there is something for everyone, which means something for everyone to relate to and something for everyone to find very difficult and everywhere in the middle. So you should just feel in very good company. If you find this to be incredibly abstract, we'll try to make it as down to earth, I guess, as there a button in that. Try to make this not up in the air, but as down to earth as possible. So I think Israel's up first, and then again?
Yeah,
yes.
The fourth talking, three talking, that's a specific thing in the circular, about Bittul in general?
Not about Bittul, so each one has its own range. So the idea of four tefachim as its own area, that comes up in other places in halacha. And it's used here to say that if you have four tefachim of bad tzchach, then it's its own neighborhood right in the middle of your sukkah, and that's a problem. Three tefachim as a shear for lavud, that also comes up in other areas of halacha, such as Hilchos Shabbos. So neither of those are unique to sukkah. Yeah, the application of sukkah. And Dofen Akuma, that gives us four amos, theoretically. So what Jacob just asked is, when we talk about the halachas of Dofen Akuma, so we say, okay, you have to have less than four amos away from the side of the wall. Right? It's interesting how, you know, the Rishonim say, yeah, Dofen Akuma, you can view the wall as curved, because you know sometimes the wall's curved. So I don't know how many of you nowadays have been in houses that have curved walls. I guess the more architecturally aware among us may have seen this, but most of our walls, I think, are pretty straight. But the idea is that theoretically, okay, there's such a thing as a curved wall. So if some of your ceiling space has to go to the wall, okay, it's not inconceivable. There is such a thing as a curved wall. So Jacob's question is, why say only four amos? Let's say four amos plus four tefachim minus a mashu. Because I can have four tefachim of bad tzchach, and I could have four amos of wall, of curved wall. So let's go for another four tefachim. Four amos plus four tefachim. Is that your question? So that happens to be a machlokas achronim. There were some, I think the Yeshua was okay with that, but for the most part, I think most achronim are not okay with that. Because they say it's not that you get to decide what everything is, and then you have certain points to spend. You know, as if it's a card game of some kind. We used that comparison the other day. But the idea that, okay, you can choose to spend your puzzle points on this. You get four amos worth of puzzle points for space, and for Dofen Akuma, and four tefachim worth for space. So you can spend some here and spend some there, and you still have another card for there. It doesn't work that way. But if you have the space, so it's going to be one thing or the other. So that four amos is going to already be used up. So you're not going to be able to then say, okay, give me another four tefachim for bad tzchach to add on top of it. Now, there is a question that applies both a lumdisha question, but it has tremendous practical implications. that applies both to Lavud and to Dofen Akuma. Not going to suggest that the answer to one is automatically the answer to the other. They may have different answers. But the same question is asked in both. And just to, we'll mention them together because it's the same kind of question, even though they may have different answers. When you have Lavud, so you have three spaces, three Tvachim space in between. So we can consider that connected. So what does that mean? Does that mean they're connected, it's as if there's no distance between them? So if they need to be associated, they're associated? Or does it mean they are physically brought together? And they are, can we, it's as if we fill in the space. Not that there's no space, but it's as if the space is filled in. So what difference does that make? It makes a difference for a couple of areas, but just to give one example, there is a question that Achronim ask also. Let's say you have in your sukkah, let's say you have two tvachim of bad schach, and then three tvachim of space, a drop less than three tvachim of space. And then you have another two tvachim of bad schach. Right? So normally the two tvachim of bad schach are okay because they don't combine. So if you have two tvachim of bad schach over there and two tvachim of bad schach over there, it's okay. You just can't have four tvachim in one space. But what if there's a lavud in between them? And so there's now three tvachim of air in between them. So do we say that space is considered to be filled in? Or do we say it brings the two together? If it brings the two together, so then maybe you have a problem, because then maybe you have four tvachim of bad schach in one place, even though they're not actually together. But does lavud actually attach them, or just means that we don't worry about the distance in between? So that's a discussion that some of the Svarim have also. Should I repeat that? Everyone get that? Which one? Repeat it, yeah. So let's say you have, normally if I have two tvachim over there, two tvachim over there, bad schach, it's okay. It has to be four tvachim in one place. Let's say I have two tvachim here and two tvachim here of bad schach, and over in between them is three tvachim of air. You have a labud in between them. So do we view that labud as just like magical filled in space, so it's fine? Right, the same way I can have labud anywhere else, I can have labud in between these two things and it's fine? Or do we say, no, the labud brings the two together, erases the air in between. So now I have four tvachim of bad tzach connected, and that becomes a problem. Yes, sir.
Even in the
bristles,
how are you viewing
lavud? Some kind of magic material.
If I'm filled in the space, what is that, like,
hypothetical
space?
Yeah, magic, powerful.
I think you're filled with the apostle's
tongue. Apparently not. Not necessarily. It's filled with some kind of magical wild card material that can do whatever you want it to do. It has this magical power. It's like... it's like Coca-Cola, you know. You know how Coca-Cola, if you want to stay awake, it'll help you stay awake, but if you want to fall asleep, it won't stop you? Maybe that's just my experience. You know how it's the opposite of hot? Like when it's too hot in your room and you're trying to sleep, you can't fall asleep. But when it's too hot in the sheer room, you can't stay awake. You know, so it's like the opposite. So some things do everything right and some things do everything wrong. So maybe lavud is just this magical power that, seriously, even though it sounds funny to explain, that maybe it doesn't actually fill in anything that hurts you. It just makes the space as if it's not a problem. Because it can try to understand it when I say it's magic, but I mean, like all of these halachot and moshim nisim, as we see, work off something that we can relate to, like dofen akuma, there's a certain perceptible explanation. Lavud means that at a certain point, we know that nothing that we deal with, walls and doors and roofs, they're never 100% solid all the way across. So we can cope with a certain amount of empty space in these things, and it's still a wall, it's still a door. So what is that? So that's less than three tvachim. So what does that mean? Does that mean that it joins them? Or no, it's just that it doesn't bother us that that's there. So if it joins them, that's a problem. But maybe it's more likely that no, it doesn't bother us, that we can handle any gap of less than three tvachim. It's not something that disqualifies what you're talking about. Hi.
Three tvachim is in terms of the walls, it's easier to understand than the schach. Because in terms of the walls, what are you trying to do? You're trying to create a barrier. That's what a wall is.
Mm-hmm.
To establish a territory, to make a whatever. So three tefachim, I'm trying to figure out what is three tefachim? What does that represent? Why is that not four, not two? Three tefachim is probably what the Rambam say is if these walls are not completely attached, because nothing, as you said, nothing is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Three tefachim is probably small enough that the average person cannot squeeze through it.
Still creates a barrier.
Right, and that they would be, because you need two walls that are connected, right?
And that's already a point where it's still
right.
Connected.
So three tefachim in any direction would be considered a barrier, right? At 10 tefachim high, so you mean anyone can jump over, but in terms of going on or whatever it is. But
especially for sukkah purposes, where we're not necessarily trying to actually stop people, we're trying to delineate
right.
The area.
For schach,
even though
it's different, because the purpose is different. It's not a barrier. The schach makes the sukkah. It is the sukkah.
Right.
So this is like halakhic. It's like a different animal.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if you necessarily have to say there's a fundamental difference in both those. I mean, the point can still be true, that that's essentially what the message of Lubbed is. I don't know if it's radically, fundamentally different.
Where do we get Lubbed from? Where do we get the concept?
The Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, but the Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, that this is how we... Perhaps it's understandable that essentially this is the shear that we see things as separate. Now, it's interesting in general, if you want to explore the question of Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, which is a fascinating discussion of itself. So we know that shiurim, especially about to approach Yom Kippur, right, shiurim are very relevant. We know that shiurim are Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. So when we talk about kezias, we talk about kosevus and Yom Kippur, we talk about all the different measurements that are crucial for daraisa dinim. Right, so the Torah generally does not spell out any shear that we rely on for its own laws. So the Gemara tells us that shiurim are Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. And essentially still there's a certain type of svara that we relate to what's considered achila, what's considered whatever din we're talking about, but there's Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai to how we actually formalize what that means. So it could be that these Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai essentially are shiurim. Then essentially, what percentage of completeness or what kind of distance can we tolerate in something for it to be considered complete? What kind of reality is necessary for a dofen akuma to be fairly called a dofen akuma? So essentially, it could be these are very closely connected to the same types of shiur. The same way we know there's something, right? When it talks about, we know we're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, we'll get in trouble. We know we're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. We don't know exactly how much, and Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai comes and tells us how much. So to here, we know that a wall doesn't have to be perfect. It has to have a certain status. So Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai is coming in and telling us just how much we can live with and how much we can live without. So when it comes to Lubbed, you have this question of what happens to the extra space. You have a similar question, which is discussed explicitly by the Ran. And you probably saw this in terms of Dofen Akuma, right? So what's the question that the Ran discusses in terms of Dofen Akuma that seems to be a difference among Rishonim, the question who says what, right? The question of what exactly is happening with Dofen Akuma. So do we say, which is more consistent with how we've been explaining it so far, this is what the Ran says, that we look at the wall, yeah, this actually looks like a convenient way to illustrate things. Let's say this was your house. And so it's conveniently a different leveling over here in the middle. So let's pretend that this was all removed. Okay, so what would happen? The offices on the fourth floor would fall down on top of us. But let's pretend that the fourth floor and the fifth floor had made space for us. Once they did now they're cutting the ribbon outside, so once they did that, who knows how much more they can do over here. So let's say they want to create a special display case for us. So let's say take out this space, right? The space that's neatly over there. So now you saw, hey, okay, it's a shame that the fourth and fifth floors have moved over, but now at least I can make a sukkah here. So you wanna put tzach across. Right? So that's what the Mishnah talks about, right? So you want to put tzach across over here and have it count as a sukkah. So it's not going to go all the way there. These walls could be walls for a sukkah, fine, because we know sukkah walls can be just about anything. Right? So for the most part. So these walls, we have sukkah walls that are valid. But what about our roof? So we want to put schach over here. But part of the roof is that, and part of the roof is that. So what about those parts that are still solid material, non-schachable material? So, okay, but then we could use dofen akuma to consider the walls like this, and the schach is in the middle. That's essentially what the Mishnah talks about. When I came into the Beis Medrash before, so Rabbi Adler mentioned to me, I don't know if it's because he's holding in the same sugya or if it just happened to be, he was talking about something similar. He said, isn't it a strange idea that such a thing should be kosher for a sukkah? Because it seems to contradict the idea of zei midirascha keva, that you should leave your place, your formal house, and go to somewhere else. So the idea that you could take your house and convert it into a sukkah this way isn't that hard to swallow in light of how we normally hashkafically understand the idea of sukkah. As I mentioned, which was something that we talked about earlier, when we talked about Diras Arayi and Diras Keva, that perhaps it's a little bit more conceptually consistent with Rabbi Yehuda, even though we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but maybe there is, in every machlokas, there is some aspect to appreciate in the other opinion. So remember we said that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that both Diras Arayi and Diras Keva are both about exposing yourself to vulnerability. But the way we understand Diras Arayi, okay, so we leave our houses and we go outside, essentially. And maybe Rabbi Yehuda, in a sense, is even greater vulnerability, that within your Diras Keva, it has this exposure. Diras Keva, even though it's the same kind of dira that you feel comfortable and secure in all year round, you expose yourself and you see that that's not really what it's about. So perhaps when we talk about this model, so it has that element of Rabbi Yehuda, even though we don't normally adopt that view, but that, okay, even within your house, to kind of sukkahify your house has a certain hashgafic message to it. Also pointed out that if we have an expression in English, you can go crazy. It shows you can go somewhere without actually leaving. But in any event, so that's the situation where you have dofen akuma coming up. So the Ran says, what does dofen akuma mean? It means, like we've been explaining, that the wall curves, and the wall goes up to there. And therefore, and that's where he has that comment, I was like, oh, my God, all those walls that curve that we all see all the time. So this wall curves too. So if that's the case, says the Ran, he says there's two issues that you could have said, and he doesn't think this is correct, but quite maybe Rashi says this, that what it means is that we're allowed to see the schach as if it extends all the way to where the wall is. We're allowed to travel beyond this schach pasul. Sorry. Now, part of the problem is, and part of maybe why the Ran doesn't like that view, is because it's harder to make sense of conceptually, especially the phrase dofen akuma, you know, literally means a curved wall. So let's say, okay, it's what it is, it's a curved wall. To say that, no, the schach, we just view it as extending, the schach is going to go there, we're just going to view it as extending to there, it's just harder to figure out why that makes sense. It's harder to, perhaps it's something closer to a Lubbock idea with greater dimensions, that we just see that space as filled in. So one of the ramifications that the Ran has is therefore you can't sit under that space. Right? So in our picture here, you can't sit over there near the window or over there near the door because you're not under schach. It's fine as a wall, but you can't sit under a wall. While if you said differently, maybe it would be a different story. So it says two things. It says the Ran, it says that you can't sit under that space, and the schach and the wall, the curved wall, the schach puzzle that we're now calling a wall, they have to actually connect. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger and others say that the Ran is saying that because he's assuming you can't combine two halach lamush and sinais. You can't take both a labud and a dolphin akuma together. Which, as we saw, is a little bit of a discussion. So that's essentially how the Ran understands dolphin akuma, and others could understand differently. Now, one difference, some of the Sfarim point out also, that if you want to say that it's just as if the schach magically, it's some kind of lobid related concept, that the schach magically hits the wall under those circumstances, but not that this is all a wall. So maybe a nafkamina would be that what if that space over there, what if it actually is something that is puzzled for a wall? Maybe that would be a problem for Dofen Akuma, but not a problem for magically seeing it connected. Now, what is puzzle for a wall? Almost everything we see seems to be kosher for a wall. So what would be puzzle for a wall? Well, if it's stolen, right? So then it could be mitzvah babi avera and sifik zulo, which we'll discuss actually is more than mitzvah babi avera. So that would be a problem. Or let's say it was a vodazara material. So that's also a problem, it's as the asherah. So that might also be relevant if you say that Quran, that this is all the wall, and maybe we have to throw that into the equation also. Hi.
Yeah, so the more than four tefachim puzzle stuff, is it, it's not only the fayat, well, what's it looking for on the wall?
Like, say if it's under that space, you're saying?
If it's within four amos of the wall, so you could say Dofen Akuma.
Right, so then the whole thing gets overwhelmed by the Dofen Akuma part. Because otherwise there'd be no such concept, because the whole thing is puzzle stuff.
Right, so whenever the Mepharshim, you can't sit under it.
Right, you can't sit under it.
So whenever the Mepharshim were saying you can't be more than four tefachim, you always meant outside of four amos.
Right,
of the wall.
In the middle, not close to the wall. Not necessarily outside of four amos, because let's say if you have... That's an interesting question, how it would be within four amos, if say it was a mixture of sach. Presumably, you should be able to consider it b'dofen akuma no matter what it's made out of, except for the stolen stuff we mentioned a second ago. So presumably, yeah, anything beyond four tefachim really, four amos really, is really where you have that issue. So in the middle of the sukkah, so then four tefachim by itself is where you're going to have the sach puzzle problem. Okay, so now, so let's put some of these points together for some practical issues. So we saw, first of all, yesterday we talked about the tree issue, which is a very relevant issue in a lot of cases. And you saw that's a big difference as far as Tosus and the Ran is concerned, that according to Tosus, it's only a problem really if you are trying to use it as part of your required schach. And if you don't need it, if you require tzrach, it's not a problem. But then we have to figure out, does it mean you could have a huge tree covering everything? Clearly not, because that's no different than a house. So we have to figure out exactly what Tosis is getting at. And it would affect the question of having a screen atop. Because a screen across the top to protect from bugs, something like that, we discussed yesterday. The Torah allows that, as does Tosis. But we have to figure out why. Because presumably, again, if it's covering the whole thing, so why is that okay? Why is that not like inside the house? And that's where we mentioned the Bach. It says that the screen is considered to be part of the stach, is there to protect the stach, so therefore we don't see it as something like a tree or a house that's there on top and interfering. And the Ran was more machmer on this. The Ran said that it has to... not only do you have to have a kosher schach without it, but we have to see the schach under the tree as if it's not there, and that even if you otherwise had good enough schach, but the tree passes the schach below it. So then again, we have the same measurements, that if it's on the side, it's you have more latitude. If it's in the middle, so you have four tefachim, and you have to make sure you don't have four tefachim in any one place. So this comes up all the time in terms of there are warnings, and especially in Eretz Yisrael there are merpeseses, merpesios, what's the plural of merpeses? Merpesesi. But there are apartments, so they are basically built, so a lot of them are built on purpose to be able to accommodate a sukkah, but you also have the issue that the apartment above you is space goes in a little bit. So on the side, again, you have the same kind of consideration. But, as you see, it's also a question of the Rishonim, that it helps when you have a situation like that with an awning, that ideally if you get the schach to go all the way across to touch the awning, so then you're covered, no pun intended, according to more Rishonim, because that's going to satisfy more opinions. And again, you can't sit under the awning. like sitting under a wall. But theoretically, it could be a part of your overall kashrus sangha. So what about if there is some type of a protective mesh or something above the sukkah? So if, let's say, you're some kind of a netting that's part of the apartment above, let's say there's laundry wires that go across, things like that. So here it seems like for Tosfos for sure you should be okay. The question is the rod. So it's not like a tree, but what about Lobo? So if it has gaps, but the gaps are less than 3 tefachim, so should we say it's all filled in? So that relates to what we mentioned at the beginning, that Lobo doesn't necessarily mean there's actual filled in material in between. That it's as if all the spaces are brought together. So many will say that you don't have to worry about Lubbed messing you up in that way. Lubbed helps you for the sukkah when you need it, but you don't have to worry that it creates a covering on top of the sukkah. But there's one view in Rishonim that's a little more machmer, and that is Arashba and Eruvin. And therefore, if you yotzei chol hadeis, if you try to make sure that whatever is on top is really spaced out, so it has more than 3 tefachim of space in between, that would address all the views of Rishonim, but many were makel even less than that, that it's something that really is chamsin rubin selsa, lets sunlight in, and it's not an actual wall, it's just strips of some type of protective something on top, that perhaps even according to the Ran, it's not really considered to be something that gets on top of your subject. Okay, so I guess we're just about out of time for that, but I think that's most of the principles that we wanted to lay out. So again, is this more or less clear? Is this a little clearer than it was before? A little bit so I guess would be the better way for it to be. More light than shade on this issue. Does that work? Okay, so again, so then to keep things neat, so let's assume that'll be our discussion of that. And then for tomorrow, we'll start fresh with Maimid and try to discuss some of those very controversial and relevant topics now. So it is constructed, and again, with the goal Thursday morning of trying to address everything else. Okay, so I wish everyone a wonderful day. It should be a day of much light and inspiration. And Hatzlacha, it's good too. And I will see you guys all tomorrow.
Is that going to be discussed?